good to see everyone here this morning, especially the visitors. It's such a nice day. You're always welcome. We're always glad to see you. As a barber who thought he should share his faith with his customers more than he had been doing over the years. So the next morning, the sun came up early, and the barber got out of bed and he said, "Today, I am going to be a witness to the first man who walks through my door." Soon after he opened his shop, the first man came in. He said, "I want to shave." And the barber said, "Sure, just sit in the seat, and I'll be with you in a moment." The barber went in the back and prayed a quick prayer, saying, "God, the first customer came in, and I'm going to witness to him. Please give me the wisdom to know the right thing to say to him." Then quickly the barber came out with his razor knife raised up in one hand and a Bible in the other, while saying, "Good morning, sir. I have a question for you. Are you ready to die?" So, you know, we try hard sometimes to follow what God wants us to do in the Bible. And I think an important thing to do, and you got to give a person credit for that, is that they do that. Now, this is our seventh lesson following Leroy Brownlow's book, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. And while we dealt with it's a biblical salvation plan or method that we follow what Jesus told us to follow, that also brings us to what is so popular today, and that's faith only. So, if we ask ourselves why we're a member of the Church of Christ, why we're not a person of another religious stripe or organization, you know, we might say it's because what our families were before, mom and dad, aunts and uncles, grandparents, the closest building to my house, or it's the nicest building in town, or if they were neighbor was put to ask us why we're a member of the Church of Christ, could we give them sound reason? Isaiah 41 and verse 21. Isaiah 41, 21 tells us, "Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proof, says the kings of Jacob." And also in 1 Peter 3:15. First Peter in chapter 3 and verse 15, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." In other words, God wants us to be ready to tell others and share with others why we have this faith in us. So, if your neighbor was also to say that one church is just as good as another, how would you answer them? We remember of the Church of Christ, or the Lord's Church, because, number one, as we learned, it's built by a scriptural builder, Christ. It was founded on a scriptural foundation. It was founded in a scriptural place, Jerusalem, not any other place. Christ is the founder of only one church, His church. It's scriptural in name. It's scriptural in organization. It has no creed but the Bible itself. It gives the scriptural answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And that's the pattern we still follow today. It teaches that man is saved by faith, but not by faith alone. Many attempt to justify this belief because works can't save us. There's no amount of works that's going to bring us any closer to God and to heaven. We are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, and it's not earned by any of us. However, Jesus did tell us to do some things and abstain from other things. Faith is what motivates us to do His will. Nothing you or I can do can ever earn us a place in heaven. However, obedience to the will of Christ shows that we have faith in what He tells us to do, according to Paul. I will take the word of one of Jesus' appointed apostles over the reasoning of uninspired theologians that have come out over the years. It's just simply doing it. In their efforts to push forth, well, we live by faith alone. We live by that faith, and that faith saves us. Yes, that faith in God and that belief in God differs from Adam and Eve, who trusted a serpent rather than trusting God Almighty Himself. So we trust God. God tells us it's our faith that saves us. Abraham, as he got ready to kill Isaac, the angel stopped his hand because his faith was proven that he was going to do what God wanted him to do. But it wasn't necessary for him to actually kill his son. So, but God does require us to do some things to show that we have faith in Him. Because the question we have to ask our friends, if you're not going to follow what God says, then how can you say that you have faith in Him? You don't trust God's Word enough to say that we must do these things. They show a good conscience, as Paul said, but that's not exactly what saves us. It's the sacrifice of Jesus and our faith in Him. So what is faith? Faith is believing something as a result of a testimony or evidence. The Bible is a book of testimony given to create faith in the human heart. Let's look at John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. In the book of John, chapter 20, 30 and 31, what do we read? Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, but are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So, faith is the belief in that testimony. And Paul said, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. We have faith in these words here because Jesus is a historical person that no serious scholar ever would argue that did not exist. And that He died on the cross and that He rose again. The only reason why the disciples and all the disciples save John, tradition holds and the writings hold that they went to their death for the gospel. And they were closest to the truth. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, do you think they would have put their life on the line and died? Do you think multitudes of Christians would have been thrown to the lions, burned at stake, persecuted, and died for the faith that they have? Faith is not blind faith, but based upon this book here. And this book is, they've tried to destroy it over and over again, but they could not destroy it. Hebrews 11, 1 is another good place. Hebrews is just a great book because it really shows us the changes from the Old Testament law to the New Testament and how things change, how things are similar, and why Jesus is superior. 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We believe that when we close our eyes on this earth and we're no longer here, that we're going to be in heaven with Jesus. That's what we believe. Faith is also yielding to God's will. If we believe God, then we're going to follow His will. If Adam and Eve had believed God rather than a created serpent that could talk, then they would have been in a lot better shape. Romans 10, verse 16. I apologize, it's one of these lessons that really lends itself to hopping around the Bible, so to speak, and looking at all these verses. In Romans 10 and verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So not all are going to obey the gospel like they want to. And not all who cry, Lord, Lord, are going to enter the kingdom, as Jesus said, but only those who obey His will. There are those who have not obeyed, thus they have no faith in the reported and inspired men of God. If we believed in the Bible, then we wouldn't have to come up with the concept of faith only, because that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the only place that it does say faith alone or faith only is the one place that says that's not what saves you alone. So, what should we have faith in? Back to Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we need to have faith in God Almighty. Do we believe that there's a Creator and that He created everything? Now, some people have a religious belief that people are trying to find God, and the Bible is just their attempt to do that. But no one really knows what God is. They just believe that there is some sort of intelligent creator out there in the universe, and they're trying to understand him. But no, but truly believing what God tells us in chapter 11, verse 6 of Hebrews, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, seeking him is obeying him and doing what he tells us to do. We must have faith in Jesus Christ. John 8:24 tells us that. If we don't have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came as a willing sacrifice, that he gave up everything he had in heaven, that we learned from Philippians 2, so that he could humble himself to death. Now this is God, the Son of God, God also, who submitted to death. Death is only the domain when God gives up on something and lets it die. God does not have to submit to death, but Jesus did. Though he didn't have to, he wanted to save us. So we need to have faith in Christ. We need to have faith in the Word of God. Enough faith that we're going to obey that Word, and we're going to listen to that Word. We're not going to have anything added to it. We're not going to have another book, a lectory, a catechism, whatever you want to call it. We're not going to have that on top of this Bible for us to follow. It's like, oh yeah, we believe in the Bible, but here's what we teach today. No. We teach what the Bible taught. If Jesus had thought we needed something new today, he would have said back then he was going to come back and say it. He was going to have another prophet that was going to follow. Jesus said it is finished. He appointed his apostles. He appointed the 12. One betrayed him. He appointed another, and then Paul was appointed by Jesus. There are no apostles, or any other name you might want to call them, living today that Jesus appointed. They've all been appointed by committees and human beings. And that's not the pattern of the Bible. We can know what God wants us to do just by coming to this book. It seems kind of simple. You know, we get a lot of things, and some assembly required, and it's generally a lot more assembly required than the box might tell us to. Following those directions can save a lot of time, because if you put something together before you were supposed to, you might have to take it all apart again to go back to those steps. So, just follow the book. It is that simple. So, we must have faith. In the book of Mark 1:15, Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So that's what Jesus proclaimed. In the book of Mark, this is the thing. He's baptized, he goes into temptation, and this is Jesus' first thing that he says. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's not far away. Repent and believe in the gospel. Well, if you believe in the gospel, then you're going to obey the gospel. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Belief, or have faith in the gospel. Let's look at that. End of the book of Mark here. Chapter 16. If I can get the pages separated here. Chapter 16 of Mark, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So we see right there, again, that command that Jesus gives us. And I don't care what you think about faith. I don't care that you think we don't earn it. I don't care about any of that. He told us to do it. And if we have faith, we'll do it. We know it doesn't wash us white as snow. Jesus' blood does that. But he does command it. And if we believe in him, I call it like taking someone's temperature. You know, someone has a certain temperature. And the thermometer is not the actual temperature of the person, but it's an indication of it. If a person has faith, then they're going to do some actions there. It's like the little boy that cried wolf. Very simple story. We teach our children about, you know, making false accusations and stuff like that. Well, at first the people had faith in what the little boy said, and the men went out and tried to get this ravenous wolf and tried to kill him. Well, after a while, he's laughing it up, and they're not real happy with him, and so he cries wolf, but this time there's an actual wolf. But this time, the people say, well, that's little Johnny, you know, crying wolf again, you know, trying to get us to act. So, you know, the moral of the story is, we need to have faith, and faith is going to cause us to do something. Same thing. You know, if a little boy keeps yelling, fire, fire, and, you know, everybody runs out and tries to put out a fire and there's no fire, and, you know, one time when there's a real fire, no one may come because of the lack of faith. So we've been told this over and over again, but people will not follow it because they say it's a work. And it's an action verb, but I would argue with them that when they tell someone, just accept God and Jesus into your hearts wherever you are, and you're saved, well, accepting is an action verb too. The only thing, I guess they say, well, you don't see anybody actually do something. It's just a verb in a sentence, and it happens in their mind. But this is not what God wants us to be. So, how is faith acquired? Many deceived people contend that faith comes as a result of a miraculous operation upon the heart. If this were true, would not all men believe? If there could be something done to tweak or change someone's heart, wouldn't all people believe? Acts 10:34 tells us that God is not a respecter of man. And that's a problem with modern people. They think they're just as good as God. In fact, they're on the throne of their own life, not God on their own life. But God is so great and powerful. Look what he told Job. Job was the best man out there that the devil challenged him on. And he told him, were you here when I created the world? Just let me do what I do, is what God said. We need to respect God. And just like Daniel's friend, when they got thrown into fire, he said, we're either going to be saved, or we're going to die. But God is still God no matter what he does. He's not here to save maybe an individual, unless he desires to do so. But they were going to follow God. The Bible clearly teaches that it's the Word of God that produces faith. We have to hear the gospel. Now, the gospel's not popular today. People don't like to preach it. They think everybody's got it. And they have these churches. They're going into environmental movements. They're doing this. They're doing that. And there's a lot of good things to be said about those things. But that's not what the church is supposed to do. The church is about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that today, we can have confidence in our lives despite all the problems that we have, that we can go to heaven someday when we leave this earth. And in between there and there, we can live a life of confidence in Christ and God. So, John, if we go back to the book of John, verses 20 and 31, chapter of John 20, verse 31 tells us, again, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Again, we see that it's the Word that produces this action here. John 17:20, still in the same book. Chapter 17, verse 20 of John. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So again, we see that it's this word that produces this faith in people. We could go on, Acts 15:7. Acts 18:8, Romans again 10:17, and the necessity of faith in our lives. It's absolutely necessary that faith is emphasized in our lives from the beginning to the end of the Bible. From the very first interaction of man, we see man's fall. We see man not have faith in God, and we see the result of that. Notice these reasons why faith is necessary for man's salvation. Man's heart is cleansed by faith, Acts 15:9. Man is justified by faith, Romans 5:1. Faith is necessary for salvation. It's no use we plunge you underneath the cleansing flood of the baptismal waters to rise again if you don't have faith in Christ. That's why the confession comes before that. That's why learning the gospel comes even before that. We have to hear, we have to believe, we have to confess, we have to be baptized, and we have to walk that life that God wants us to live, following what He tells us here. Faith is necessary for salvation, Acts 16:31 and Mark 16:16. We have to have faith. I mean, it just makes sense. If you don't have faith in something, it's no use you even involve yourself in it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have empirical evidence, in other words, evidence I can touch and hold. I can't point out there that God's out there, but I look out to His creation and I know that someone designed and made that. Science struggles with that. You know, the great scientist that we have now, Stephen Hawking, says, we need a theory of everything. In other words, what he's saying, all the theories that they have now don't add up to what happened in the beginning. It doesn't add up to how things expanded faster than the speed of light, even though mass is not supposed to be able to go faster than the speed of light, but it did in the beginning. They can't answer those questions. And a lot of them won't deny that there's not a God out there. They just don't believe in Him because they can't see Him and touch Him. But these are the things that we walk by faith. Not blind faith, but that we can see in our lives that God has walked with us each step of the way. And that even though times are hard, sometimes are bad, and sometimes we're sick, sometimes we're poor, that God has gotten us through it and we come out on the other side with more faith than we had before. The Christian life is to be lived by faith. Galatians 2:20 tells us that. And we can't please God without faith. Again, Hebrews 11:6. We can't please Him without it. Paul said in Romans 14:23, whosoever is not of faith is sin. You know, a lot of people get into religion or kind of gravitate towards that because it's a social avenue and those kind of things, but if it's not of faith, it's a sin. Without faith, we die in our sins, John 8:24. Faith is what overcomes the world in 1 John 5:4. It overcomes the world in each of our lives. Faith in God that we believe what He said. Faith is necessary for eternal life, John 3:16. Thus we can see that every act of obedience is based upon faith. You have to believe it first before you can do it. Now, the doctrine of faith only contradicts what the Bible says. And that's where they get in trouble. They try to emphasize faith only. No act or anything like that is going to save you. Some even believe that people are arbitrarily picked and they have no voice in it. So we've stressed faith in God's plan of salvation. But men have added the word only to this. There's widespread, and it's taught by most in the religious world out there. Let's consider, and go through these quick, why the doctrine of faith only is false. In James 2:17, James is a book that they don't like. Because James really puts it out there. In James 2 and 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, James is not saying that you have to combine the two and that works gets us closer to heaven. What he's saying is, if you have faith, you're going to do something. It just stands to reason. And then if we drop down to 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Again, he was stopped from taking Isaac's life, but he was going to do it because he had faith in God. And if we're going to follow God, then it's our faith that saves us, yes. But faith is going to cause us to do some things. So that gives them trouble in separating the two. But I know that my baptism and your baptism, as Jesus said, was for the remission of sin. Not because the baptism itself did the work, but because we were willing to follow what God said. Yes, we believe that faith saves us, but also, as James said, that faith is going to cause us to do some things. The only time faith only is mentioned is James 2:24. And what's interesting to see in James 2:24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's the only time that that phrase is uttered. Not by faith alone. We are saved by faith when faith obeys. Again, Hebrews, just a wonderful book to study and learn from. If we look at Hebrews 11:4, now these all, most of these come from Hebrews chapter 11 that we're going to go through rather quickly. If I can get my pages separated here. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. We drop down to verse 7 of chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. That's why the Bible says we're going to judge the world. We're not going to stand like God in judgment of them. But every time that person says, well, God, it was too hard. I didn't think you were there. I didn't understand it. You weren't clear enough. He can point to one of us and say they did. They understood. So they can understand. And people are condemned because there are those folks that will have faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And we read that one before. Verse 20, by faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Hebrews 11:28, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. In 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. No one knocked on those walls and knocked them down. They did what God said. Faith is a work man must do. John 6:28-29. This will be our last verse this morning. I know it's a little tedious going through all these, but it's important that we go to the Bible like the Bereans and see what's true and what's right and what God wants us to do. In John 6:28-29, then he said to him, what must we do to be doing the work of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So, if we believe in him, if we have faith in Christ, then we're going to do these. Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. If they take our temperature today, will we be cold? Will we be room temperature? Like someone who's passed on? Will we be at 98.6? Will we be hotter than that? Are we on fire for the Lord? Do we have a fever for him, so to speak? What's our temperature today? And the only way we can tell is by what we do in life. How many times we pray? If we don't have faith, we're not going to pray. How many times we're going to try to help someone with the gospel? Look for an opportunity. Pray for those opportunities. If we don't have faith, we're not going to do those things. If we don't have faith, we're not going to do these things. And I'll agree with them that faith alone is what causes us to be saved. And faith in Jesus causes us to obey Him. We obey what He said to the disciples, to go out baptizing them for the remission of sins, as Peter said in Acts 2:38. We do those things, we have faith in it. And we know that everything we do, you know, some people think they're punching a clock every time they come to the church on Sunday. Like they punch a clock at work. I'm on time. I worked my 8 hours today and I worked my 40 hours this week. Give me my check. Well, they've earned that. We come to church because we know and love Jesus and have faith in Him. We want to learn more about Him. We want to help others. We want to fellowship with our fellow Christians. That's what faith causes us to do. As James said, you tell me you have faith, I'll show you my faith by the works that I do. You'll know that he's dedicated to the Lord. Not that James thought he was earning any part of his salvation, but that because of his love of the Lord, he did these things. So what kind of faith do we have today? A false faith conjured up because some men were unable to separate obedience to the gospel from a works-based system like the old covenant law? As James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. His faith motivated him to do these things while he was on earth. Faith without some action is not no faith at all. But people can't separate the two, unfortunately. Or do we have an obedient faith? One that trusts God, and whatever you want me to do, God, I'm going to do. Not because it gets me any closer to you, but because I have faith in you, and I trust in you, and I know that you're going to get me there. We have faith in something, we're going to do something with it. It's just natural. And people are going to know we have faith in something if we do it. If we have faith in a certain bank, then we're going to trade there. And we're going to trust there. If we don't have faith in a bank or their actions or anything like that, then we're not going to deal there. If we don't have faith in a plumber, we're not going to use that plumber. If we don't have faith in a mechanic, we're not going to use that person. But if we have faith in them, then we're going to go to them when we need help. And we're going to recommend them when others need help. So, it's just simple. Just simple Christianity. Just plain Jane, vanilla Christian, leading our lives, following the Bible alone, and doing what God tells us to do. We may not fully understand it, like we don't fully understand the Trinity or the triune God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But God said it's there, and I trust that it's there. So I don't know what your condition is this morning. Maybe by faith this morning you need to take those first steps and confess Christ today and obey what He told us to do and step into that watery grave of baptism to die to who we were, to rise anew, and to walk by faith the rest of the days of our lives. Or if you have need of the church in any kind of other way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?